Hi, this is Russ Taft.
Hi, this is John Olifanti.
Hi, this is John Schlippen-Petra.
Hi, this is Kim Boyce.
Hey, everybody, Stephen Curtis Chapman here, and you are listening to Jesus Freaks Final to Digital.
Hi, I'm Jason Huddle, host of Jesus Freaks Final to Digital. Before we get into this week's program, I just wanted to take a moment to thank you for downloading this episode and giving us a listen. If you really like what you hear, we'd love to have your support. How can you do that, you say? Well, I'm glad you asked. Simply visit patreon.com/JesusFreaksPodcast and become a monthly sponsor. Now, you can do that for as little as two measly dollars per month, or you can go higher and get special perks, like advance access to episodes when available, the opportunity to submit questions I will ask our artists on future episodes, and even your very own Jesus Freaks t-shirt. Again, that's patreon.com/JesusFreaksPodcast. Patreon is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. And hey, if you'd like your business or organization to become a sponsor of this program, let us know by visiting our website, JesusFreaksPodcast.com, and click on the Become a Sponsor link at the bottom of the page. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's get on with the show.
Michael O'Brien may not be a household name, but if you were a fan of Christian music in the 90s or early 2000s, you're certainly familiar with his. From songwriter to backup keyboardist to lead man for the iconic group Newsong, and finally solo artist, Michael O'Brien, or Michael O as he likes to be called, has endured his share of trials living on the road.
I guess people have this view that if you're a Christian artist, then, you know, everybody's on board and everything is great, but to hear you talk, it sounds like this is just as much of a strain on Christian artists as it is on secular artists, this, the life on the road.
People should know that it's a strain no matter what, because you're leaving your family, and birthdays get moved to different days and anniversaries, and that's just the reality of somebody who travels.
On this episode of Jesus Freaks Vinyl to Digital, we talk with Michael O'Brien about his journey through the Christian music industry, the challenges he faced, and how God has brought him through every step of the way.
It is amazing because ministry just happens. It's not like you can just make, you know, you can try to make it happen, but it just happened. And
right.
So who gets the glory for that? Certainly not me. It was God doing what he was going to do.
Plus, Michael O graces us with some cuts from his latest album, Crown Him. He's going to play it in studio, coming up right now on episode 3 of Jesus Freaks Vinyl to Digital.
Time of real decision, when we reach the point of choosing how we would live our lives, all our hopes, all our dreams will rise up from that moment, the moment we surrender and choose to follow Christ.
Welcome to another edition of Jesus Freaks Vinyl to Digital. We are presented by Cabco Media Group. My name is Jason Huddle. One of the things I love about this show is that every interview is different. I can't wait to present these interviews coming to you in the next few weeks. You know, in our very first episode, Dale Thompson from Bride had a lot to say about his theology and his thoughts on the direction of Christian music. Brian Duncan talked about the industry as well and his journey and his faith, and we even talked about what makes a good song. This week, we talked to Michael O'Brien. Michael O, his most noted contribution to CCM, probably to most people, would be his stint with Newsong as the lead singer, but he's been in Christian music for a lot longer. As I mentioned in the intro, he was a backup keyboardist. He played with people like Twyla Paris and the Allies, as you will hear during the interview, and then he was recruited to become the lead man for Newsong, and now he's a solo artist. And through it all, he has gone through some turbulent times, but God has led him through, and I am anxious to let him tell you. So without any further talk from me, here comes our interview with Michael O'Brien of Newsong. Welcome, everyone, and we are talking today with Michael O'Brien. Michael, you know from his days with Newsong, he has been a solo artist for many years. First of all, Mike, can I call you Mike or Michael? Do you prefer that?
Michael.
Michael, yeah, okay. I tend to shorten people's names, but I forget that some people don't like that. I apologize. Michael, thank you for being on the program.
Well, hey, it's a blessing to be with you. And you can call me, a lot of people call me Michael O.
So. Michael O. Okay. Yeah, I feel like we're tight now, Michael O. Thank you. So, Michael O, let's talk about your career. You got started back in the early 90s as a songwriter, right?
That's correct. I actually had, when we moved to town, we moved from California, and we said, let's give it 2 years. And if nothing happens, we're going to have to move, and I'm going to have to get some kind of job, like a real job. And 2 years to the week, I'm not sure if it was the exact day, but it was the week of 2 years, I signed a contract, a writing contract with one of the publishing companies there in Nashville. Metagreen Music, as a matter of fact, was what it was called.
So you went on to start out songwriting and then keyboard playing. I think you played for Twyla Paris, is that right? God is in Control days? Is that when that was about?
Exactly right. When I went on tour with her, I was actually playing for the Allies. I don't know if you heard of them.
Oh, yeah. I remember the Allies.
Before Twyla was Allies and Allison Durham Spear. Or Allison Spear. She was trying to break into pop music at the time. And now, of course, she's very Southern gospel. So it didn't work out real well. But that was a fun year. But then, yeah, it was Twyla. And then, yeah, signed the record deal in 94.
Now, I remember the Allies. I'm trying to think. I remember that they had a album cover with they're all dressed in the army helmets and stuff. Yeah, was that you?
No. This was the... Remember when Allies was on their way out?
Yes.
Bob Carlisle ended up going solo on Sparrow Records. And basically, I was with them that final run because Scott Sheriff played keyboards at the time, and he went on the Great Adventure Tour with Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Oh, okay.
And he called me and asked me if I would play. Little did he know that I was a massively huge fan of the Allies. So to remain cool was very difficult for me. Cause I love those guys so much. So yeah, that was a fun, I think I did it for about 6 months. I was with them.
Very nice. So how did you go from keyboard playing for Twyla and songwriting to being the lead singer of New Song, which was probably one of the most iconic Christian groups of the 90s and early 2000s?
Well, here's the quick story about that. 95, I had signed my first record deal, and I was, they make you travel with, open up for artists. Like that year was Mark Lowry. I did Stephen Curtis, Point of Grace, and then I went on a long run with New Song. And let's put it this way. They had 9 bunks, and there were 14 guys on that bus. So if you do the math, there's a lot of people sitting on the floors. And I was the opening artist. So I didn't have my own bunk. I was
sleeping. You were on the floor.
I was sleeping with all the luggage and on the very, very back, and did that for quite a long time. So that's, you really begin to bond with people when you travel in that way. So it was a fun run, but that's how I got to know the guys.
So New Song. Is there any song, did you ever get tired of singing Arise, My Love?
Well, I think I told somebody one time we sang that song. I don't want to over exaggerate it, but I do believe we sang that song 6 times in one day. We played 5 services, and we did an evening service too at Prestonwood, I think it was. We did the early morning sunrise service, right, and then another. So yeah, when that particular day, I was probably ready over for Arise, My Love. But you know what? It's just an anointed song.
So it
it's
is
kind of hard. It's talking about the resurrection of Christ. How do you not love it every time you get to sing it?
That's a good point. I had the privilege of seeing New Song. This is after your days with New Song, but I had the privilege of seeing them a few years back, and they did Arise, My Love. It was in an arena during Winter Jam, and oh my gosh, it was incredible. Just incredible.
It's a powerful song for sure.
So tell us about your solo career. After New Song, let me ask, if I can, what led you away from New Song? When did you know that your days with New Song were done?
Okay, well, I guess the quick story is 3 years of a solo artist on Benson Records, and in the words of Brian Duncan, because I just used it, I was on the pinnacle of my decline from being a solo artist. Russ Lee was leaving the group. They called me. My audition was not my voice. My audition was the altar call, and that's the true story, because there's a lot of great singers out there, but not a lot of guys, who are kind of evangelists that can kind of share their testimony and do an altar call. So I was on a summer jam at that point and did my first altar call with them. And, a lot of people came forward, and I guess they were like, okay, you're the guy. So I did that for 7 years and had a lot of great great times. But if I'm going to be honest with you, looking back, I'm not quite sure when I left. I was leaving the solo career because I felt like I was fearful that I wasn't going to be able to make a living anymore doing it. And so it seemed like everybody was like, yeah, you need to do this. You need to do this. But I ended up going on the road a lot, 200 plus days out of a year. My kids, they didn't miss me because I was always gone. I was always on the bus. I mean, you watch the videos at where's daddy? He's on the bus. And, you know, it was just every time I come home, I'll be writing for the new project. I'd go into the studio. You know, it's very, very draining. And so kind of what happened was in 2005, we had recorded the live DVD of Rescue, which had done really well. Integrity had released it. And, you know, I think the song did well on radio, went number one. And I, my heart was just, is not in it anymore. I would do the winter jams. I had hidden sin in my life that nobody knew about. My wife and I had almost gone through a divorce through the whole, when I was in the group, nobody knew about it. There was just a lot of hidden things that finally started coming out, and Heidi and I began to get better. And the better we got, the more distanced I wanted to be from being away from them for so long. So I ended up leaving the group 2006, March 19th, I think was the final day. And I haven't looked back, and I love the guys. And I think there was a first year, they were kind of upset because, you know, we were doing a lot of, you know, great stuff. And the winter jams were really at that point, you know, you're singing to 20,000 people a night, and there was a lot of success. The CDs were selling really well. And it was just God's perfect timing for me to leave. And after, I think, a little bit, they understood because all that other, that hidden stuff kind of came out. And they're like, oh, wow, didn't know that was all going on. And so they've kind of, at this point, you know, are cool with it.
Not to get up all in your business, but you touched on something. And I think that it's something that people, our listeners, would want to hear about. Is you said that it was a strain on your marriage, this life of being on the road, you know, what did you say, 242 days? Is this something that is common in the Christian? I guess people have this view that if you're a Christian artist, then, you know, everybody's on board and everything is great. But to hear you talk, it sounds like this is just as much of a strain on Christian artists as it is on secular artists, this, the life on the road.
I would say absolutely it is a strain. And I think if you talk to anybody, they're you have to have, number one, a very supportive wife, but number two, you have to have boundaries. And I think what happens is record labels, booking agents, managers, they all have to, they have their job to do. Yeah. And they're not really taking into account the family unit. They're taking more into account record sales. How do we get them out there to do more stuff? So it's to me, as an artist now, because I can make my own schedule, it's definitely the best for us. But there are some people who go, you know what? I'm not leaving my family. I'm taking them with me. You know, yeah. I think about the Mercy Me guys, or, you know, then you see three buses out there instead of one bus. So so there are guys who go, you know what? No, I'm not willing to make that kind of sacrifice. Then there are other guys who are so self-driven like I was at the time that are like, hey, if I don't do this now, I mean, how am I going to make a living? So, you know, men get caught up in the whole idea of I'm the provider, and we don't realize that truly God is our provider. So we make our plans, but God directs our steps. We have to be very careful about what we take. And, you know, I think looking back, it was a mistake probably to go to New Song, but God is sovereign, and he knew I was going to take that choice because of right. The fear of losing a job. And good came out of it. And now that I'm out of it, I'm much happier and much more fulfilled with our family unit. And of course, all my kids are grown now, but I was able to coach baseball. Two of my boys were playing baseball at the time. I was their head coach, and that was incredible. Just fun. Well, it's incredibly hard, but it was also incredible fun. So, sure. But you know, I guess there's gives and takes, but I definitely would tell you people should know that it's a strain no matter what, because you're leaving your family, and birthdays get moved to different days and anniversaries. And that's just the reality of somebody who travels.
Incredible. Good story. So you left New Song, you become a solo artist again. What was that transition like to go back to being a solo artist?
Well, interestingly enough, I thought I was going to be getting a record deal, a pop deal, because I had all this nostalgic music that I'd written to Heidi because we were doing so good in our marriage, and she liked that old-fashioned music. So I created a whole project called Something About Us, and it was all sappy love songs to Heidi. And you know, Columbia Records, Warner Brothers, several of these companies were really like looking at it. And so it was like God was dangling this carrot. And unfortunately, I took that carrot and started munching on it too soon, because once I got out a new song thinking I was stepping into something else, everything fell to the wayside. And I was like looking at my wife going, I got nothing. We got no record deal. I got no dates on the books. What just happened? And by the grace of God, I had a friend of mine that was kind of helping me, and they were getting calls. Everybody had heard that I had left the group, and some you know, churches wanted me to come in. So that first year was very, very shaky, but we ended up still making the project. And what happened was that opened up an opportunity for my wife and I to do marriage ministry. Now, I never even dreamed of any kind of ministry like that, because everything has always been so self-driven, or, you know, new song or whatever. And so we had opportunities now to go out and share our story about how God healed our marriage in the midst of me being in ministry. And so it opened up we were like Family Life Today. We were on all these radio things. Billy Graham did our story and put it on national television, Focus on the Family, Family Life Today with Dennis Rainey, all those guys, they wanted to hear our story. And so all these opportunities opened up for us to share our story. It is amazing, because ministry just happens. It's not like you can just make, you know, you can try to make it happen, but it just happened. And right. So who gets the glory for that? Certainly not me. Right. Certainly not Columbia Records or Warner Brothers. It was God doing what he was going to do with the project.
So first of all, let me ask, how are you guys doing with the quarantine? I mean, I know this is, Brian Duncan said the same thing. It's a hard when you're a musician and you can't go out and do gigs.
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenge. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I told you that, you know, we're just sailing through it and no problems. But I have to say this, and without, you know, giving too much information, it is interesting that last year, this was the slowest I had ever been in my ministry. I mean, we usually had 30 dates through the spring. I had 12. So we had no money, hardly in the savings account, anything. And what happened was, I don't know if I shared this before we got on air or not, but I had this full schedule this year, the busiest we've ever been. And then it all, in like within a week, 4 to 5 months, just got completely canceled. Mm-hmm. But in the bank, God knew this was going to happen. And we were able to put some savings aside to help us through this process. And once again, just the sovereignty of God and him knowing, and he's in charge and he knows what he's doing. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't people out there right now who are like, I don't know when the next money's coming in for us to get food. So, I mean, I don't want to paint a picture that it always works out that way. But for us, it did. And this, that God was taking care of us so that these months we can survive.
Right. So right before all this hit, you came out with a new album, which is always great timing. So it's called Crown Him. Great album, by the way. I've had the opportunity to be listening to it in preparation for this interview. Yeah. But I got to tell you, as I was telling you before we started recording, I'm a child. I was born in the 70s, raised in those 70s, 80s. So that 70s medley, the last track on the album. Oh, my goodness. Like I was back in my dad's station wagon listening as we crossed the country as we were missionaries. You know, we were going all over the place and listening to the Imperials. And so if I could, would you be willing just to give us a little taste of that? Because that was so good. I would love to relive that.
Sure. I won't do them all, but I'll give you a little taste. Here we go.
Sure. That sounds great.
Oh, yeah. Drive the nails in my hands, lie for me where you stand. Ahead, say it isn't me. The day will come when you will see. Tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again.
Death can't keep me in the ground. I'll give you a little bit of praise the Lord. When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, and you feel the urge within you to submit to hurt the fears. Don't let the faith just standing there seem to disappear. I say praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise him. Praise the Lord. For our God in time is praise. Praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you. And you praise him. Praise him.
Standing, man, you can still wail. You are so good, and I am so jealous. Oh man, that was phenomenal. Golly, that takes me back.
Sometimes I do that. I try to do it every time now in concert, and it's amazing how the older generation, and which is what I'm in the older generation. You know, a lot of times guys will start standing up, you know, shouting, saying amen, or lifting their hands and worshiping God. And a lot of times after the concert comes up, you know, they come up and just with tears in their eyes, but you have no idea. That Rise Again song, I heard that. I pulled over in the car. I mean, just all these incredible stories about how the music ministered to them. So, you know, I can't take credit for it. They're great songs. I wish I had written them, but I'm still glad they're still alive today.
Has Russ Taff called you to congratulate you on that yet?
No, old Russ and I, we've done some stuff together in the past, but no, he hasn't. I'm sure he hadn't.
So tell us about this album. Tell us some more about what's behind it. What was your thought in producing this one? Yeah,
great question. But 2018, I went in October. Typically takes 4 months for me to record it. And this particular project took me a year and a half to finish. I named it Corona. I mean, a crown hymn, which means Corona in Latin, 8 months ago.
The timing. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up.
So, you know, it was still just drawing out this whole process. So we released the actual CD, if you want to call it that, whatever the project, on April 1st, right in the middle of this Corona thing. And you know what? It was a labor of love. And all my kids sang duets with me. So I have 4 kids.
And they can all sing?
They all sing. Yeah, so wow. They're all on the project. You'll hear each song. There's 12 songs, but 5 of the 12 are duets with my family. And I finally got my wife to sing a song called What Wondrous Love Is This. So she sang that, and I sang harmony with her. So it's very special in the sense that, you know, getting your kids involved. And we'll have that forever. I mean, at least until I die, I'll always be able to pull up the songs and listen to them. And they're all gifted in their own ways. You know, my son Joseph is—he was on AGT, America's Got Talent, 2 years ago. Did really well. Got to the quarterfinals, and basically now he's at Liberty University, about to sign a record deal with their label. And then Timmy, my other son, is creative as well. Does some music, but more importantly, he's a video kind of guy. And my son Mikey is a tennis pro. TikTok famous, I guess you'd call him. He does stupid stuff on TikTok. I don't recommend it for the thing. And then my daughter's married, and I mean, my son is married, Mikey too, but to Sarah. And then my daughter's married to Trey, and they have a baby. So I am a grandfather.
Congratulations, Papa. Man.
So, yeah, just to have them all on the project was great. But I also always, since I've left New Song, most of the records that I've done, besides the love song, sappy love song record, have been very focused in on old hymns, because I love the rich theology of those hymns. Sometimes me rewriting the melodies, and then sometimes just making an arrangement of the original. And so the last four projects have been that. So in a nutshell, it's kind of like psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, but this one's called Crown Hymn. So,
man, it is incredible. And I really appreciate your time today, just talking with us and letting us know a little bit about what's going on with you and your life. Where do you go from here? What's next for Michael O?
Just trusting the Lord to, you know, open up this opportunity for the summer, possibly to do a liturgical worship concert on the person and work of Christ. Is what we're working on right now with a group called the Photo Sisters, two sisters who play cello and string, and they also sing. And just going in and doing it in a way that churches can do it for 50 people or less. Obviously not going into any mega churches doing that, but, you know, and just pray that the Lord open doors for us to minister. So stuff like this where we can still minister. It might not be paying dividends as far as monetary things, but it hopefully is bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. You know.
Well, I know Crown Hymn is available on iTunes and I'm sure Android, all those yep. Google Play, whatever. So, so make sure that you go and check that out. Also, Michael, I just wondered, is there something else you want to carry us out with something, another song you want to give us a little taste of?
Yeah, I'll give you a little Crown Hymn here.
Crowning the Lord of love, hold his hands inside. Rich wounds visible above, beauty glorified. Angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his burning eye, a mystery so bright. Yeah. Crowned with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Master's King through all eternity, crown in the many crowns. Yeah, crown in the many crowns.
Michael O, thank you so much for sharing your talent with us today. Incredible music. Sure. I encourage you guys, go check this album out. It's really, really good. And thank you again for your time today.
All right, man. Hey, you have a blessed one, okay?
All right. You too.
See you now.
It's always incredible to me to hear other people's stories, not just artists, but people in general, who, no matter the difficulties in their life, when they trust in God, they always come through. Dale Thompson said it great a couple of weeks ago, that he's never seen the righteous forsaken or child of God begging for bread. Michael O's story is a testament to that, and I hope you guys can see that as well. Make sure you join us next week, all you punk rock fans. If you were fans of The Clash or The Ramones or anything like that in the 80s, and then you were looking for something in the Christian music world, then the Altar Boys were your group. Next week, we will have Mike Stan, lead singer of the Altar Boys, on here. He is going to do some songs for us, as well as talk to us about how the Altar Boys came to be, his story. It's another incredible one. You don't want to miss it. So make sure you join us next week here on Jesus Freaks Vinyl to Digital, a presentation of Cabco Media Group. I'm Jason Huddle. Until next week, God bless. Here's a little more Michael O to take us out. Powerless behind you when you praise him.
Lord.